It is Psalm 25 that I've been asked to take this evening, so we're going to read that passage of Scripture through. Psalm 25. Now, of course, there's a multiplicity of Bible translations available. I expect we've all got our favourites that we might turn to. It so happens that I've memorised from the Authorised Version verses from this psalm, so that's really why I'm going to read from it this evening, in the hope that I won't be too tongue-tied. Psalm 25, which is a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Amen. There's a book, or rather a series of books, that is found in the library of many preachers, and it's called The Treasury of David. Now, The Treasury of David, it was written by that famous Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. The Treasury of David is a commentary on the whole book of Psalms, and there are, I think, 6 or 7 volumes in the series. Well, that is hardly surprising, because we have 150 Psalms, and so there is a lot of material in a commentary if you want to write about each of the Psalms. Many will tell you that the Treasury of David is the finest commentary that you can pick up if you want to understand the book of Psalms. And that's saying something, especially when you realise that the author died in 1892. But the title of that series, I think, says a lot about the book of Psalms. The Treasury of David. Treasury speaks to us of treasure, doesn't it? And there is a storehouse of material that we can find in the book of Psalms. And that's what I want to emphasize. There are great treasures to be found in the Psalms, because so many of them are born out of personal experience. And when we read them, we can identify with them. There are feelings in the Psalms. And it's Psalm 25 that we're going to look at this evening. The interesting thing about this psalm is that it is written as an acrostic, using the letters of the Hebrew alphabet through the 22 verses. Now, Hebrew is not an easy language. I do not speak Hebrew, and I cannot read Hebrew. So the fact that it's written as an acrostic in Hebrew isn't going to help me, and it's not going to help you either. But the original readers of this psalm would have seen that, wouldn't they? And we need to remember that, because if we have that in mind, it will help us understand that this psalm isn't going to lend itself to any logical themes that we can come up with. We can't say, well, the first four verses are about that, and verses 6 to 10 are about that, and verses 11 to 13 about something else. No, it's not going to work in that way. Each of the 22 verses of this psalm is going to express something different. We could come up, if we were hard-working and clever, with 22 titles, but I don't think that would help, because we haven't time to do that this evening, and I don't know how many of us would go away remembering 22 headings from this psalm. So we're not going to do that. I think the best kind of thing that we can do with a psalm like this is to read it thoughtfully, quietly, and meditate upon it. What I've decided to do is to pick out five features that I've noticed in this psalm. Now, they're not the only features that you will find. They're just things that I've noticed. And I'm not going to say everything that could be said on this particular psalm this evening. That is not possible. But I want to share with you a meditation on the lovely words that we have read. The best thing perhaps that I can suggest is that you have your Bible open and therefore look at the verses that I'm going to highlight. Now please remember that we're looking at poetry in the book of Psalms, and it's Hebrew poetry, it's not English poetry, and we mustn't be guilty of dismantling it and taking it apart because of that. The first thing about this psalm is that it is a personal psalm. That's the first thing we need to understand. It is a personal psalm, and because of that we can all get something out of this psalm. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. It's about me, David, but we can identify with this. I lift up my soul to the Lord. So this is very personal. Verse 2, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Again, we see how personal this is. But David, the writer of this psalm, is experiencing difficulties. At this time, he finds himself surrounded by enemies. He's very aware of this. And then he says in verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. He's lifting up himself, his soul, before the Lord, placing himself before him, and he says, Lord, please will you show me your ways, your paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. He says, thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. So he has needs, real needs, pleading with God for help, waiting for the help that he needs. Verse 16, turn unto me, he says, and have mercy on me, because I'm desolate. I'm afflicted. There are problems in this man's life. And of course, we have problems in our lives as well, don't we? But help is available for us. This is the cry of a troubled heart. We can identify with it. But secondly, it is a penitential psalm. Penitential meaning being sorry for sin. Now there are some psalms that are very clearly penitential psalms. Psalm 51 is one such example, where the dominant theme of this psalm is penitence, sorrow for sin. Well, it's not perhaps the dominant theme of this psalm, but it is a theme that we find in Psalm 25. Verse 7. David says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. First of all, he says, Lord, please do not remember the sins dreams of my youth. I look back to years ago, to the time of youth, and there were some foolish things that I did. I can still remember them. Lord, please don't remember those sins, those offences. I have offended a holy God. Please don't remember that. Nor my transgressions. I've wanted my own way in the past. I have revolted against the commands of God. Please don't remember this. And then he uses the word remember again, doesn't he? Please don't remember these things, but he says, Lord, please do remember me. Not my sin, but remember me, because I need mercy. In mercy, spare me, Lord, and remember me, and show goodness to me. So he is very conscious of his sin. Again, he says in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Pardon the wrong things that I've done. My evil is great. We often can minimize sin, can't we? And we rationalize it. And we downplay sin and we make excuses for it. We shouldn't do that. We should face up to it as it is. And David says here, my sin is great. There are two things that we need to understand, don't we? One is that God is a holy God. He can't just overlook sin and say that it doesn't matter. Forget about it. He is a holy God and his standards are perfect. And yet he's a forgiving God. The wonderful truth of the gospel is that he wants to pardon our sins and blot them out. Let me share one verse from Isaiah 55 with you. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It's good to know that. If we are prepared to forsake those sinful ways of the past, turn to the Lord, he will have mercy upon us. He will abundantly pardon. There is a great pardon available, all because the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, died upon the cross. We can be pardoned from our sin. In verse 18, David says, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Sometimes we can suffer pain in life because of sin, because of the things that we've chosen. We can bring pain and suffering into our lives, but the important thing is to join with David in this prayer and say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. That's what we need to pray. So that's why this is a penitential psalm as a second aspect. Now, a third thing I notice about this psalm, it is a perceptive psalm. There's an understanding about this psalm. David seems to know something of the purposes of God. He says in verse 4, teach me thy ways, O Lord, or show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. God is not a remote God who's far, far away from us and we cannot know him. God has his ways. God has his paths. There are things that he does. There are ways in which he operates. And David says, I want to learn about these things. He can perceive there are ways connected with God, truths that can be discovered. He says in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he will teach sinners in the way. God is good. He is even in all his dealings. That's why he's able to teach sinners in the way. We're able to learn about this God. He refers to these paths in verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. He knows what God is saying. If we obey him and walk with him, then we will understand his paths and we will know the blessing of them. And verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. If we fear him, if we reverence him and give him his rightful place, we'll understand the secrets. We'll know something of the mind of God. It's a perceptive psalm. He can see that God is a pardoning God. And he's also a God who wants to bless those who come to know him. Fourthly, in this psalm, we see that it's a persevering psalm, isn't it? Persevering because there were enemies. David says in verse 2, "Let not my enemies triumph over me." I realize they could. Wouldn't take much, perhaps, in my weakness for the enemies to get the better of me. And I would stumble and I would fall and I would be down. May that not happen. Verse 3, he said, "Lord, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let those who transgress without cause be ashamed, but for those who wait on the Lord, please may they not be ashamed." David needs deliverance. There are enemies surrounding him, but that deliverance is not going to come from his own hands. Oh no, he's waiting for the Lord's help, that the Lord might be the one to deliver him. He says at the end of verse 5, "On thee do I wait all the day." I am waiting all the day. I'm not in a hurry. Waiting for the Lord to intervene in my life and in my circumstances. But the trouble is, often we're in such a hurry, aren't we? We want something that is instant. We want it now. We're not prepared to wait for that lovely coffee that is brewing in the percolator and we can smell it. That's why we turn to instant coffee, because we need it now. And there's a problem and we want God to solve it yesterday, not tomorrow. But the theme of the Bible so often is wait on the Lord. Wait for his time. Verse 15, he says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net." An animal or bird hunter might spread a net upon the ground to catch the unsuspecting animal or bird that would get into the net and struggle to free itself and not be able to do so. David knows his enemies are spreading a net to catch him. But he says, "I'm looking to the Lord. I'm persevering. I'm looking to him that he might keep me from falling into that net that the enemy has spread for me." Again in verse 20, something similar. "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." The enemies are there, seeking to outwit me and get the better of me. But I'm persevering. But as I do so, it's not in my own strength. It's in the strength of the Lord. He is the one that I'm trusting. Trusting him that I might not be ashamed, he says. And then in verse 21, the end of the verse says, "For I wait on thee." What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It doesn't mean that we're idle, that we fold our hands and sit back in an armchair and take it easy and do nothing. That's not the picture of trusting in the Lord or waiting upon the Lord. It means that we're not slack. It means that we are in that frame of mind where we are alert and we're trusting in him constantly and looking to him. We need that spirit, don't we, that characterized David. This is a persevering psalm. Someone who is going on amidst the difficulties of life, looking to the Lord for help. He is the one who alone can help. We need to go on trusting him, persevering and looking to him. And lastly, the fifth thing I notice in this psalm is that it is a prescriptive psalm. Prescriptive in the sense that it is written for others. It's not just for David himself. This is prescriptive. It's a prescription. It's a remedy for other people. How often we find that in the psalms, don't we? Yes, it is a personal psalm. We can identify with the writer, but he is writing not just for himself, but he's writing things that will be of benefit to us. Verse 9, for instance, he says, "The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Often we need guidance in life. We need direction in life. But we're told here, if we want guidance, we've got to be a certain kind of person. It is the meek, the humble, who are guided. We mustn't be know-it-all people, confident of our ability that we think we have. If we do, we can't expect the Lord to guide us and to lead us. It's the meek that will learn his way and will know his guidance. David says himself in verse 4, Lord, teach me thy paths. He wants to be taught. He's ready to sit in the school of God and to learn. He says in verse 8, he will teach sinners in the way. Guilty, sinful people can be taught by him. God is quite ready to teach us who know his forgiveness, teaching us in the way that we should go. But we've seen already, haven't we, in verse 10, the need to keep his covenant, keep his testimonies. Obedience is such an important thing. This is why this psalm is a prescription to us, telling us the need to obey the teaching of God's word, and then we will discover the paths of the Lord are the right ones. His mercy, his truth are found in them. There's a question, isn't there, in verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? David's waiting for an answer. Who will put their hand up and say, yes, I fear the Lord? Right, he says, if any of you do, and you can say yes to that, God will teach you in the way that he shall choose. He will choose the way. He will teach you. He'll give you his peace. You'll know his blessing. You'll know the secret of the Lord made clear to you. This is not just something for David. He has a message to share with us. He has a prescription for ourselves. As in the last verse, he broadens out to think of all of Israel, all of God's people. Redeem Israel, O God, he says, out of all his troubles. His concern is for others. There are things here that are of a prescriptive nature. So there is a lot of help that we can derive from the Psalms and from this particular one. Perhaps this psalm and others like it are things that we can often go back to and receive help from. And I think we can receive a lot of help if we learn such verses of Scripture. It's a very good thing to memorize the Scriptures. And when they're in our minds and in our hearts, then, at a time of need, the Lord can bring them to our attention. And we realize there are truths from a psalm like this that can help us. Yes, it is prescriptive, because the great physician wants to help us. He wants us to lift up our soul to him. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to wait on him all the day. Praise God that he is so ready to pardon our sins, and he is also so ready to guide his dear children.